Mr. Sharp, first case, please.
The first case is 12,278 Indian River Volunteer Fire Company Tower Co. New Singular Wireless PCS LLC seeks a special use exception to place a telecommunications tower and interpretation of county code and variances from the maximum fence height of a proposed structure and from the maximum height for a proposed telecommunication tower. Sections 115-40, 115-179, 115-185, 115-194.2, 115-210, and 115-227 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the east side of Banks Road, approximately 315 feet north of Long Neck Road. The 911 address is 25375 Banks Road, Millsboro. The zoning district is GR. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 23, Parcel 287. Staff would note, since the advertisement of the application, the only request tonight is now a special use exception for the telecommunications tower. They are no longer asking for a variance for height for either the tower nor the fence, and they are no longer asking for an interpretation of the code. So again, it is now just a special use exception. Received no letters in support, no letters in opposition, one mail return. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Jonathan Jordan on behalf of the applicant. I have three witnesses tonight: Andrew Peterson, who's a radio frequency engineer, Michael Moore, who's a civil engineer, and David Hockey, who's a site acquisition specialist. And I ask that they come up and get sworn in. I don't have any prepared testimony for them, but I think the board sometimes has questions, so that's why we're going to get them sworn.
Okay.
Good evening. Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Andrew Peterson, Box 165, Fairview Village, PA 19409.
Okay. Can you wait right here? I'm going to swear everybody at the same time. Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Michael Moore, 514 Sweetsford Road, Malvern, PA 19355.
Thank you.
David Hockey, 5000 Ballystone Drive, Cary, North Carolina, 27519.
And do the three of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks. Can you guys just sit down right there? Okay, so the applicant is proposing a 150-foot tall monopole, which includes a lightning rod, at property owned by the Indian River Volunteer Fire Company. The fire company has an existing 140-foot tall lattice tower on site, and we would be replacing that with a 150-foot monopole. And then the communications equipment that the fire company uses would be migrated onto our proposed tower. The proposed AT&T antennas would be compatible with a nationwide FirstNet system for emergency responders, which we have discussed in the past. There's a brief write-up. Does everybody have one of these black exhibit binders?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at tab 18 is a brief summary of how FirstNet works. Basically, it makes sure that there's always available bandwidth for first responders, so that if a first responder tries to use the network when it's already being maxed out, they get priority placement onto the system. So I'd just like to go through a couple of exhibits in the binder to show that we comply with the standards. First is the radio frequency report at tab 7. That was prepared by Mr. Peterson, who's here. The trend in bandwidth usage has been about 47% annual compound increases in use. So everybody uses their cell phone as a computer now. A lot of people, more than half of all households, don't have a landline anymore. So that's really put a strain on the AT&T network. And basically, the purpose of this site mainly is to offload excess calls that are, if you look at tab 8, you'll see that's kind of the existing coverage. And some of these existing the poles that I believe it's the one marked EL05362 is maxed out. And if you look at the next sheet, in the middle of this site is our proposed tower.
I don't have a next sheet.
Okay, I'm sorry, next tab.
Next tab, okay.
Next tab is 9. So you can see that the 5362 actually is our proposed This is our proposed site. So this will offload from some of the other sites to clean up the sites that are being maxed out, and also it will provide in-building coverage to certain properties that are in the immediate vicinity of the tower. So it will improve service. And that's a big thing because, as I mentioned, this is property owned by a fire company. They need to be able to use their phones. 76% of all 911 calls are made from handheld cell phones. One of the benefits of E911 service is the GPS in the phone tells the radio dispatcher exactly where the call is being placed from. So if the caller doesn't know exactly where they are or doesn't have the ability to describe exactly how to get where they are, the phone tells the 911 dispatcher where to go. Tab 6 is an inventory of existing structures within a 2-mile radius. There are three structures within the 2-mile radius that AT&T is not currently using. That includes the 140-foot lattice tower that we're proposing tonight to replace. There are two other towers. One is a monopole 8/10 of a mile west of the proposed site, and the other is a guy tower 1 mile west of the proposed site. And you can see that Mr. Peterson prepared that site inventory report, and he states in the report that those two sites are too far west to satisfy the objectives of the network improvements that would be taken care of with the proposed site. And in addition, those two towers are fairly close to existing AT&T sites, so they will not work from a radio frequency standpoint. If you look at the photo simulations at tab 14, you'll see that the visual impact of going from the 140-foot tower to the 150-foot tower is negligible. Exhibit A10 is the electromagnetic exposure analysis, which says that the emissions from the proposed antennas would be less than 1.2% of the maximum FCC limits. Exhibit 11 is a report concluding that the antennas would not interfere with other radio or appliances. Exhibit A11 is a federal aviation report, which states that there are no FAA issues with the proposed tower. We do show on our site plan, which is at tab 13, that we'll light the tower every 50 feet as required by code. That's at sheet Z4, shows the lighting. Sheet Z4 also shows that we can accommodate a total of 4 platforms. The code requires us to have 2 platforms in addition to our own. So we comply with that requirement in the code. If you go back a sheet to sheet Z3, the code requires us to set the tower back at least 1/3 of the tower height, which would be 50 feet. And as you can see, we comply with that 50-foot setback. And we also comply with the requirement of a 6-foot fence. We don't propose any signs. We will comply with the code provisions that require removal of a tower if it's abandoned for 6 continuous months. The proposed facility does not generate any noise, glare, or traffic. The traffic is basically 1 maintenance visit per month. We don't place any demands on sewer, water, or other public services. We comply with all county regulations as well as FCC and FAA requirements. And I think that pretty much covers the high points. And if we go through the ordinance requirements in section 115-194.2, subsection A, we're complying with, we have at least 1 acre. We have 1.88 acres, as you can see from the site plan. And we are requesting a special use permit as required by subsection A. Subsection B of the standards requires that we try to co-locate, and as we discussed Exhibit A6, we don't have any other candidates besides this location. Subsection C requires us to submit a site plan and other documentation showing our compliance with the requirements, which we just went through all of those. Subsection D requires us to show a tower inventory of a 2-mile radius, which we did in Exhibit A6. Subsection E requires that we have room for 2 other carriers, which we do, as shown on sheet Z4. Subsection F requires a setback of one-third the height of the tower, which we comply with. Subsection G requires a six-foot fence, which we comply with. Subsection H requires lighting every 50 feet, which we comply with. I requires if a site is abandoned for 6 months, you must remove the tower within 90 days, which we will comply with. And J says no signs, which we'll comply with. The general special exception standard states that if we meet those specific criteria, that we're entitled to a special exception if we don't substantially adversely affect the uses of adjacent and neighboring property. I think the photo simulations show that the fact that we're going at a fire company, we're paying rent to a fire company, we're improving the coverage for the community and for the fire company. There are a number of positives that we're bringing to the table, and the photo sims show that we're not adversely affecting anything. So that's about all I have. I'd like to ask the witnesses to come up and state whether they have anything to add, or if I misconstrued anything, or would they say that the summary I gave is consistent with the testimony that they would have given. Can you each come up?
State your name again, please.
Michael Moore. Yeah, listening to the testimony which has been given, I completely agree. This is a very basic tower from a structural civil standpoint. 150-foot monopole, able to support up to four carriers with ground space to cover all four. Relocation for the fire department's existing equipment. And I don't believe we have any setback issues, but if there are any questions, I'd be more than willing to answer them.
I'm Andrew Peterson. This is the standard capacity site, which I've presented to this board a number of times at this point. However, if there's any particular questions with this one,
the need here is similar to the one in Milford, where you had to have an additional tower to pass data.
Right, we're doing a lot of traffic here, particularly in the summer months when traffic peaks in this area. The surrounding towers are being exhausted. So it really becomes a public safety issue at that point.
Right.
What better place to address that than at the fire department with the tower replacement? So I do agree with all the testimony that was proffered earlier.
Thank you.
David Hockey, 5000 Valley Stone Drive, Cary, North Carolina, 27519. On behalf of the site acquisition, I agree with what testimony has already been given. The idea that we were able to locate public safety property, being the fire station, and replace an already existing tower was a good use of compatible structures, while also being able to allow the fire station to use the tower for their purposes as well. We thought that that was a good use of the land as well as the space. Nothing to add.
Thank you. Okay, so I'd just like to move the binder into evidence, and does the board have any questions?
Questions from members of the board?
Mr. Sharp?
The board members do? Only question I had was, you're replacing the lattice one. I presume this is a sturdier tower. Maybe Mr. Moore would be the appropriate one to answer that.
Absolutely, yeah. The last tower that's there is only 10 feet shorter, but it structurally doesn't have the capacity to fit even one carrier's worth of antennas, let alone the other two that would be required as part of the code.
It's guided as opposed to self-supporting?
It is self-supporting.
Okay.
The existing? But it still doesn't have the structural capacity to hold the carriage equipment.
Gotcha.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions from members of the board or Mr. Sharp?
I have none. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone here that is in favor of this application? Would you like to speak? This is the last time I'll call for anyone in favor. If you are, please come forward to be sworn in if you'd like to speak.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Sure. Patrick Miller, 32717 Oak Orchard Road, Millsboro, Delaware, 19966.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. As president of the Indian River Fire Company, we are excited and anxious about pursuing with this endeavor. It will provide additional coverage for us, replacing an older tower, and we have spoken to our neighbors, and we have found no opposition at this time.
And I guess one big benefit is that you don't have to maintain a tower.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Sure. Okay, any questions for members?
No.
Thank you.
Mr. Sharp?
And Mr. Miller?
Mr. Miller?
Yes, sir.
I presume you didn't have any complaints about the old tower?
We have not, no, sir.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone here that is in opposition to the request? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we approve case number 12,278. I believe they have done a very good job of meeting the criteria for a special use exemption.
I second that motion.
And it will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties.
And they meet the standards of 194.2 for cell towers?
Yes.
Thank you.
Now we'll second it.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. So by roll call vote, Mr. Wilkerson.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Workman.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Calloway.
Aye for the reasons that were stated.
Ms. McGee.
Aye for my reasons.
Aye too for the reasons that have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case is approved.
Thank you.